Welcome to the Music Mindfully Podcast with your host, Aaliyah Elliott. This is a place where musicians come to get inspired, to conquer their fears, to overcome self-doubt, and learn to love their music and themselves a little more every day. Let's make music mindfully. Hello and welcome everyone. I'm so excited to welcome you to today's episode and we are going to have so much fun. Yes, fun, because today we are talking about play and why it is still important to us in our adult lives. When we're growing up, we are surrounded by play. We, especially as music educators, we understand that play is how young people learn best. So we engage them in play because play makes the knowledge sticky, right? It makes it stick in their brains. That's why they learn so much better, because when we are enjoying ourselves, we are able to hold on to information more easily and it makes it more interesting and therefore we are more engaged. So why is it that as we go through school, especially around that grade 3, grade 4 mark, we sort of switch, and instead of having that expectation that most of the day is going to be filled with play and discovery-based learning, that now we're getting more serious? And the same switch happens in music too. For example, in my own studio, I have a wide range of student ages. I have 5-year-olds and I have 70-year-olds, and it is so much fun teaching all of them. And what I need to remember as a teacher is that we all still learn best when we are having fun and when we are engaged in play. It seems so natural to do that with my 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old students, right? We have all of these games, whether online or in person. We have silly songs to sing. We're doing all of this super, super, super fun work all of the time. And every lesson is like a brand new celebration and exploration of learning. Every time I have a lesson with one of my young students, I know that I need to bring the energy because we are in for a fun time and I need to bring that as a teacher. And when we do, that is how we are able to teach our students all of these amazing things. I remember a couple of years ago, I was working in a Montessori school as their privately contracted music teacher. And I was teaching in one of their CASA classrooms, which means that I was teaching kids that were 3 to 5 years old. And when I started teaching their music classes and I was using words like piano and forte or presto and largo instead of using fast, slow, loud, soft, the teachers surrounding me were a little bit concerned. I could see that they were thinking, oh my goodness, what is this lady doing? What is she teaching these kids? They're never going to understand these words that are in a different language that they've never heard before. And you know what? We played so many fun games. And those kids, to this day, because I still have some of them as private students, they know exactly what those words mean. Kids are like sponges. But the way that that information gets absorbed is through play. Have you ever tried to give a lecture to a small child? They lose interest almost immediately. And honestly, I don't blame them. We are not wired for learning when it's boring. And yet somehow along the path of education, we have decided that there comes an age where play is no longer cool and it's simply a distraction from the serious requirements of learning. But let me ask you this. Why do we say that we play music if it's meant to be so serious? To play music has the word play in it. It's right in front of us. The answer for our teaching, the answer for our own exploration and practice is right there. Why do we make music so serious? Especially having my own background in Western classical music, I have seen how there is such an expectation of excellence, of perfection. There is a right and a wrong way to do something. There are incredible idols and amazing composers that we lift up onto these pedestals, and that is the standard for classical music. That standard of excellence takes so much of the fun away from this beautiful, fun, joyful thing that we get to do as musicians. And it's not just in classical music. That is just the realm that I am able to speak to personally. But I know that this same level of perfectionism, the same striving for excellence, this same ridiculously high bar that puts so much pressure on a musician is set in every single genre. So no wonder we lose that sense of play. No wonder we forget what it's like to make music without having all of the stress. There are so many expectations on us as musicians, whether you're a performer or a teacher or a composer. There are so many expectations that you will meet a certain required level. And our students feel it too. How often do you have parents of your students ask you, well, are they doing it right? Are they progressing fast enough? Are they going to make it if they decide to go into music? Oh, they haven't been practicing that much, so I don't really think that we should continue because they're not improving. But what is the point, really, of making music? Isn't it to play? Isn't it to express? To communicate? To connect? To understand? To create something beautiful? Why does beautiful have to be synonymous with perfect? Or perhaps, maybe not with perfect, but with the requirement to reach a certain level of excellence before it has value. No wonder that there are so many students who start off their music lessons and they're so excited and quit after their first year. No wonder that there are so many young students who enter university music programs who never end up graduating because they're crushed by the weight of the expectations. They're crushed by the seriousness that we place on art. We are here to play music. And what happens when you really dive deep into play is that we find a beautiful release. All of the expectations that are built up around what we do only block us from creating our best work, from being free as artists and musicians to express ourselves, being free of the expectations and just feeling the weightlessness and the fun and the freedom. While music is auditory, and in a performance that means that there is an exchange of sound from the player to the audience member, there is also an exchange of energy. And I personally believe that it is the exchange of energy that makes what we do so magical. Have you ever watched a performer on stage who was very clearly stressed? If you have, and you've watched a performance like this, what did you do during that performance? How did you feel? Could you feel the tension? Did you worry for them? I know I do. That's the exchange of energy. And that performer, as they're feeling all of that anxiety and the stress of the situation that they are in, with all of the expectations that are put upon them, whether by themselves, their loved ones, their teachers, society as a whole, that burden of negative energy is what gets transmitted. And it taints the performance, and it taints the experience for not only the performer, but everyone else as well. So I ask you, how can we use play to start tearing down these walls? How can we return back to that childlike sense of joy and curiosity and wonder about our music making? How can we share that with our students? How can we find that again for ourselves? What I have noticed in my own teaching is that when I have students who are feeling pressure, whether that's from me as a teacher setting expectations as we're getting ready for a performance or an exam, or they're feeling external pressures in other areas of their life, my singers don't sing as well. Because as you know, our emotions affect our bodies. So if we are feeling the weight of expectation, that is going to create tension in our bodies that is going to inhibit us from freely expressing, from freely vocalizing. And I'm sure it also applies to other instruments as well. I just cannot speak to that from personal experience. And when I have those students who reach out to me and say, "Listen, I just can't right now." That's when I say, wait a minute, let's take a step back and let's just play. And I pull out my silly camp songs and I pull out every fun game I can think of. We make sounds, we move our bodies, and we revert back to that childlike sense of discovery. And you know what is absolutely incredible? Every single time we do that, my students' voices come out of the woodwork. Absolutely every single time I have ever taken an entire lesson away from regular exercises and theory and oral skills and repertoire, my students have huge aha moments about their singing. And I think that is because the pressure of doing it right, whatever right means, is gone. That is the power of play. That removal of pressure to be right. And just allowing the space for us to make mistakes, to learn from them, to lean into them, to make more mistakes, to find your way out, to find new sounds, to explore new things, and simply to have fun. So in your own practice, I challenge you this week to set aside your serious regimen and for the love of music, just play.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Music Mindfully Podcast. Did you have an aha moment? Did something really resonate with you? Be sure to let me know. Screenshot this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to tag me at Music Mindfully. I would also love to chat with you, so feel free to hop on into my DMs. I cannot wait to connect with you on the next episode of the Music Mindfully podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss out. Until then, go make music mindfully.